lost this morning? How many people have a burden for somebody who's lost this morning? Anybody? Amen. Everybody should raise their hand. I have a burden for the lost. Amen. And so it's important that, you know, before I can get you found, first thing I'm going to have to do is, and pardon me, before the Holy Spirit can get you found, and that's a whole other sermon on how God initiates salvation and God brings about salvation and God also keeps my salvation. It's not dependent upon me, and that's a whole other sermon, but I love that because it gives us a freedom. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ but walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And so when we look at that, you know, before the Holy Spirit can get somebody found, you first got to get them lost. Most people have no idea. I'm a pretty good person, right? Just ask my wife. She's not here to tell you the truth, so I can do that, right? Amen, this morning. All is sin and come short of the glory of God. It's important for people to understand that. That's an important verse for you to remember. It's a humbling verse. Amen, church? I'm reminded as I look in the mirror of my need for a Savior. Which always gets me excited because when I come in here, I'm always excited because I love to talk about my Jesus. Anybody here like to talk about your Jesus? You know He loves me more than He loves you, right? Amen. Is everybody waking up a little bit? Turn to your neighbor. Say, hey, wake up. Because in a minute, turn to your neighbor and say, because in a minute, He's going to tell me to elbow you in the ribs. So you better stay awake. Amen. Hey, I want to read something for you guys this morning as a start. And this, the Lord just kind of laid this on my heart. It's popped in my news feed last week. This is an article that came out this week in the New York Times. It goes along with our sermon this morning and also with our memory verse. It was posted 2 days ago. It says, death from drugs and suicide reach a record in the U.S. Since we began keeping statistics in the United States, deaths from drug and alcohol overdose or other related crashes and suicides have reached an all-time high. Last year in the United States, 47,000 people took their own lives. Amen? There is a problem in America this morning. Are you concerned about it? And I'm asking that question, and I don't want you to give lip service to it. I really want you to think about it. Am I concerned about it? Am I concerned about what's happening in this nation? Am I concerned about what's happening in my family? Then my next question is, if you answered in the affirmative, you said, yes, I'm concerned. This morning, church, is what are we willing to do about it? So that's the question. It's not enough for me to look and see, and Jesus talked about, you know, the mote in my eye and the speck in my brother's. It's not enough to look and see that you need some assistance. You need some help. Oh, that's a starting place. Amen. I mean, we can't change anything. I tell that to people all the time in counseling. I say, you can't change anything that you don't recognize as a problem. And church in America this morning, I will submit to you, has a problem. I don't mean to be, and I'm trying not to. The devil's been against me all morning, so I came here to preach this morning. Amen. I mean, it's just been, he was against me last night. I went through some things last night, wiped out everything that I did as I was trying to prepare for the lesson. Then I didn't even touch this sermon. So I was afraid he'd wipe that out. I was up at like 10 o'clock last night trying to redo everything. And then this morning, of course, everybody's tired at my house. Forgot my glasses. And this ain't working and that ain't working. Devil been against me. He didn't want me to preach this sermon this morning. So I thought, well, you know what, devil, I'm just going to come in here and preach this sermon. Amen. The church in America, a large swath of the church in America, is one of two things. It's apostate or it's lukewarm. That's the truth. And it's evidenced by how the church engages the culture. It's apostate because we've turned our back on the truth of God's Word. Amen? And for many pulpits, and I see it as I study and do mine, there's these ideas being propagated now that we can live and do pretty much anything we want, and that's acceptable before a holy and righteous God. I'm not going to get into any particular subject. You can probably have some that come to mind. Amen? They're out there. Then there's another part of the church that's just checking the box every Sunday. We're going through the motions. Now, I appreciate you guys being here, and this is between you and the Holy Spirit. You deal with this. I'm not here to... If you're this morning and you're feeling like somehow you're offended by that statement, that it's not me, I would submit to you that the Spirit of the Lord is here this morning, and if He's dealing with your heart, come to the altar. It's a great place to repent. And as we look and we close out this series this morning, I want to close it with a challenge. The church in America is lukewarm. I don't know if it's this church. I don't know if it's you. Because we are spoiled. Can I say that? We love our affluence in America. I don't want to be inconvenienced. You want me to do what? You want me to get up an hour early and actually be there on time? God? You want me to read my Bible today, Lord? You actually want me to go to that prayer meeting they're having on Wednesday service, Lord? I went Sunday. Well, I don't have to come Wednesday, too. I like Johnny at work, but do I really have to spend like all night praying for Johnny? I'm tired, Lord. Can't I just stay home today? Jesus would say to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane as he came and he found them three times sleeping, he would say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we're talking about a spiritual discipline this morning. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to keep you as long as the Spirit desires to keep you this morning. Amen. That may be 5 minutes, that may be 50 minutes, that may be till 2 or 3 o'clock. But I think this is an important message this morning, and I want to challenge us this morning to engage. You know, and I thought this morning as I was meditating and just thinking about this and in prayer, I've been in prayer about this all week, even this morning. The Lord reminded me of something this morning I think He says to the church. As you turn to Matthew chapter 6, I want to read something to you, the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, otherwise known to the church as the book of Revelation. That's just a kind of a short, abridged version of the title that we use. Beginning in chapter 3, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus would say unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works. Jesus knows what we do and how we labor and we have patience. We can't bear them which are evil. And I find that in the church where we don't bear them that are evil, or we feel they're evil, and we'll blast that on Facebook. And I'm not knocking anybody, but that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. You know, as hateful as we are to each other sometimes, it's no wonder people avoid the church. You know, it's okay to have discussions, but there are proper venues for that. And so we don't bear those are evil, and we tried then to say they're apostles, and we found them liars, and we've borne, and hast borne, and hast patience for thy name's sake. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left their first love. How much do you love Jesus this morning? You know the definition of a Jesus freak, right? Anybody? Somebody loves Jesus more than you do. I'm a Jesus freak because I love Jesus, man. I'm all about it. You know, if the doors are open to the church, I'm going to be here. If the pastor says it's going to be a time of prayer, I'm going to be here praying. The pastor says we're going to read through the Bible, I'm going to read through the Bible. Jesus says, Mike, I need you to do this or do that. I'm going to do it. I'm a Jesus freak. Although, as I say that, though, this morning I've reflected as I wrote this message. You know, Pastor Wayne talked in his first message on this that the sermon spoke to him. As he wrestled with it for 2 weeks, and he wasn't even sure he was going to get to preach it because of the snow and ice. How many people? I'm excited this morning. I'm a little tired, but you know this. You know what this daylight savings time actually means? Spring is in the air. You know what that means, right? Enjoyable motorcycle riding is in the air. Amen. For those of you who are struggling, who need therapy, don't go to a therapist. Get a motorcycle. I'm not trying to put myself out of business. I got plenty of persons in addiction. But you get a motorcycle and you'll understand. So this morning as we look at our series and we tie up our series, this sermon spoke to me much like as Pastor Wayne said. He talked about that prayer and thought, man, I haven't done that. This morning as we close out last week, I talked through how to unlock the power of prayer and really unpackaged how to pray. Or not last week, I guess. I forget. Last week we were at home. Last week I really unpackaged how to sleep in. Enjoy jammy time, right? as I kind of lounged around my house. Now, actually, I took my kids sledding, so I enjoyed outdoor activities. But in the series, or in the second sermon of the series, 2 weeks ago, I talked and walked through how to unpack the power of prayer. It's not enough just to pray. I mean, you really got to know some things about prayer if you really want to tap into that power. And I want to close this series with what to do when you come up against the wall. And you will. Has anybody, and I know some, just persons I know, situations here, but does anybody feel like you're up against the wall today? Been praying, saying, God, I need a breakthrough. I need something to happen, Lord. I need something to move here. I need something to give. You're wrestling not only with the situation, but you're wrestling with yourself and how you feel about it. Struggling. In this life you shall have tribulation, Jesus said. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. One of the ways we do that is that when those times come, is that we have to add something to our prayer. Pastor Wayne said prayer is the most powerful weapon that we possess. Amen? And it is a powerful weapon because it aligns my heart with God. It doesn't align God to my will. In the time of prayer, as I said, our Father who art in heaven, it allows me to rise above our circumstance. It allows me to see things soaring on the wings of eagles, it would say in Isaiah. And it begins to help me to see things from an eternal perspective, which then gives my heart comfort and then begins to align me to God's will. Because whatever situation you face this morning, God has a will. God has a will for America. God has a will for your life. Make it a little more personal. God has a will for the situation you're in and whatever you're going through and the circumstances that you face. God has a will for the people who are going through that with you. God has a purpose. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose, not ours. And sometimes when we're up against that and we're really trying to get a breakthrough, we need to add something. You know, I kind of call it prayer on steroids. We need to add fasting. Prayer and fasting. And as I prepared this message, I was reminded how long it had been since I truly fasted. In the biblical sense of fasting. So I'm curious this morning, show of hands, how many people in your say sometime in my Christian life have fasted? How many people would say sometime in my Christian life in the last year I've fasted? How many people would say in the last few months? Yeah, see, I haven't even fasted really in the last, except for if you talk about social media. We do that at my house. I have times where I shut my phone off. I'm not interested in Facebook. I'm not interested in any of that. And it's a way that I fast, but the biblical sense of fasting. So this morning, turning to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, if you would stand with me and honor the reading of God's Word, because this is important this morning. Beginning in verse 16, Jesus would say to those preaching the Sermon on the Mount, not only to His disciples, but to all the Jews who were gathered there, He would say, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they might appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Father, we come this morning, Lord, this is an important message this morning. Father, that you've laid upon my heart, church, a challenge for this church. I pray this morning that our hearts would be open to it. I pray that you would supernaturally empower each person here with energy to hear this message, Father, to overcome the tiredness that's in this place, that you would open our hearts for what your Spirit has for us this morning, that we as a church may walk in your power, may walk in your wisdom, O Lord, that we may find assurance and we may find blessing and we may find peace in whatever circumstance we face this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As I said, many churches today, they languish in mediocrity. They languish in it. We want things to happen. We desire God to move, and yet nothing seems to happen. Many churches today face strife and spiritual deadness. And they're looking around everywhere for answers to problems, wondering when God is going to move. I submit to you this morning that it's not a matter of God not moving, it's a matter of His church not moving. It's a matter of us not using the tools and the weapons that God has given us that we can live a victorious life, because we have an enemy, amen? And he's been harassing me all morning. He harassed me through my children, through my... We got in the car, and I love this verse in the Bible. I'll just share a little. We got in the van this morning, and so we're getting in the car. He's like, I want to get church in town. I don't like church. And I turn around and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things of God. Some of y'all recognize that out of the Gospels. I got my Jesus moment on this morning. Hard's looking at me. She's like, what are you talking about? And I just felt like the devil was just harassing me this morning everywhere I turned. If this church is going to have an impact, this church is going to begin. How many people want to see this church begin to move? Begin to become vibrant. I want to see this church begin to impact people's lives and begin to change people's lives and begin to grow, not just in numbers, but in spiritual depth. Not just in spiritual depth, but I want to see this church get back to our first love. You know, it happens to us from time to time, right? We kind of fall into that routine and that tradition, and we're kind of going through those motions. That's why faith walk becomes important. There are times when we go away for refreshing. That's why fasting becomes important, both personally and corporately, as we pray, as we seek God's will. We'll look at some of the reasons why we fast. But more importantly, as we wage war. You know you're in a war, right? So and it's kind of interesting, as I counsel and I talk to people, particularly with biblical counseling and pastoral counseling, I'm like, all right, so, you know, what's your favorite scripture verse? You mean I'm supposed to memorize Scripture? Okay. So what do you think about salvation?
Well, I hadn't really thought much about it. I just prayed.
Okay. So what about righteousness? Have you ever considered that?
Well, you know, I mess up quite a bit.
And I'm being a little facetious, but does anybody recognize what I'm working through? What am I working through? Put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, gird yourself with the belt of truth, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, and above all, man, make sure you got that sword. What is that? The weapon. The only weapon you have, which is the Word of God. See, we're in a war. We're in a war for the lives of our children. We're in a war for the lives of our co-workers. We're in a war for the soul of America. How many people like what's going on in America? How many people were excited when the Democrats shot down the Born Alive bill? Anybody excited about that? So now we have infanticide. A baby can be born alive for the botched abortion and then denied medical care and left to die. Now, if you have any doubt, I listened to a doctor who described medical abortions, and they're very brutal. There's blood involved because those are real people. It's just location. They're inside of somebody's body. They're not outside. If you have any doubt that it is what it is, I would encourage you to look at the science. Look at it medically. You know, but as I've conversated with people, and you know it is wrong. Abortion is murder. Murder is murder, regardless of what form it takes. How many people in here this morning would say, I hate somebody? Anybody? You know that's murder, right? I mean, if we're going to talk about murder, we're going to talk about it on a transcendent level as Jesus did, because he took the law and he took it to that next level to hate people. No matter who they are, is murder, and all murder is wrong. I don't care what form it takes. Whether it's euthanasia or it's infanticide or it's hatred, murder is murder, and we can't murder people. As we as a church look at these issues, I would encourage us as a church to consider how the churches should respond this morning. One of those ways that we respond is through the weapon of a warfare that we have, which is called fasting. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 says this. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Yet how many Christians seek to war in the flesh? Something happens and they're quick to run out and they're quick to throw accusations and they're quick to take this action, they're quick to do this, and they're, you know, as Pastor Wayne said, they use the wrong tool. Anybody remember that? Talk about tools. And I thought it would have been great if I'd have preached that sermon because I wore my tool belt in. I could have had some fun. I could have been like Bob the Builder, and I look good in the tool bags. Just ask my wife. I strap on a set of bags. I got all my tools and stuff. And I'd have whipped out my hammer to screw in a screw. Anybody ever do that? You know, you can screw in screws with a hammer. You just drive it. You just have to hit it harder than a nail, and it'll go in. Then I'd have got out my screw to try to drive, or my screwdriver to drive in the nail, right? That's what Paul is talking about here. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, but how many people war after the flesh? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So where fasting becomes very important. When you want to capture the thoughts and you want to contain those. You know, when I fast and when you fast and we deny that, we turn our hearts and attentions to God, it opens us to the Spirit of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord begins to envelop and infuse itself in my life, it opens myself to truth. Jesus, this morning we're doing a series in the youth on what is truth. Pilate asked him, what is truth? Many people in situations, they're looking around, they're saying, what is truth? What's true, what's not true in this situation? Is God moving, is God not moving? Is something going to happen? Are we going to get the outcome we desire? Is the outcome you desire even what you really need? Yeah, that's an interesting thing. The times in my life I've prayed for things, and I finally got to this place where I said, Lord, you do what needs to be done and just keep my heart at ease while you do it. Because I know what I want, but just like my kids, I might not always know what I need. Amen? You know, Emma came to me this morning, had me a couple questions this morning. She said, I want to wear these leggings. And she put them on, and we hadn't washed them. She'd been out playing in the mud. Mud, 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 mud. And I'm like, no, sweetheart, I know you want that, but that's not what you need. We're going to church. You need these. Yeah, I know you want those, but you need these. See, God has not abandoned us. He's not abandoned you this morning. You may be here this morning, as Leslie said, and you may be struggling. The altars are open. God has not abandoned you. God has not abandoned His church. God is still with us. However, at this time, God is waiting on us. See, what we want, and this is our flesh. I want to say a quick prayer and presto. We want magic. I want David Copperfield for a God. Amen? I want Penn and Teller. I want some sleight of hand, a little moving, a little shuffling of this, and blammo, guess what? There's the Statue of Liberty. Thank you for being here. I fooled you, didn't I? Because you really thought it was there. He was like, wow, dude just got the statue. Yeah. That's what we want, though, as Christians. We want the easy life as Americans, and I'm just going to say it, we are spoiled. We are spoiled. We want fast food, and we want it now. We want microwaves, we want it now. I don't want to be uncomfortable. What do you mean? My air conditioner's out. I love that today when people complain about it, because when I was a kid, it snowed uphill both ways to school. We was walking, you know what I'm saying? It didn't have no shoes. No, seriously, my grandparents, they grew up in a time where there was no air conditioning, and they lived down in Arkansas, and so we went to their house in the summertime. There was no air. Some of y'all remember that better than I do, even. And y'all are like a fine wine, you know, as you age, you just get better and better, you know what I'm saying? And I remember times where I couldn't go to sleep at night, where I would lay there till 11:30, 12 o'clock, and just toss and turn and couldn't find that spot, and you know, then you flip the pillow over. You remember that trick? Because the underside was cooler than the upper side because you've been laying on it. So you flip it over to kind of cool your head off. And you lay it for a while. And then you have to flip it back over. And then after a while, just the whole darn thing was hot. So you throw it in the floor. It's just like, man, we want things to happen quickly. But that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. See, God desires to change us through the circumstance, not change the circumstance for us. I'll say that again. God desires to change you through the circumstance, not change the circumstance for you. Because God desires mature sons and daughters who can trust Him to do great things, great and mighty things. How many people want to do great, mighty things for God? How many people want to be in Hebrews chapter 11? The hall of faith. Hey, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the hall of faith. I want people to know what great exploits and deeds that I did as I was faithful to God. Not just in the little things. My prayer is, God, where do you need me to go? What do you need me to do? Let's run up in there, man. Let's charge the gates of hell with a squirt gun. What do you say? Anybody with me? Are you ready? Let's go. But you know what? Don't say that lightly, because when you do that, the devil, I mean, he is who he is. And he knows how to come at us. And if he can't come at you, he'll come at somebody you love. And he will knock you off your square. And he will rock your world. And he's done it to me. That's how I know. I mean, I'm not just saying that because I read that in the book. I've lived it. We as a church, we need to get back to some things. Things that are important to us. Today I want to talk about a very important weapon. See here, and I want to walk through this very quickly, and then I'm going to get into my sermon. I'm taking a little while because I need you guys to really get this. Because you know what? I'm at this place now, and I haven't talked about a pastor, where I think, you know, it's time that this church call a fast, that we really think about getting back to fasting corporately, because I want to see God move in this place. I want to see people in here begin to experience some breakthroughs, because I know some people that are struggling. You know what? Are you fasting and praying for them? If you know somebody in here who's struggling, are you willing to stay up all night and pray through and then go to work tired? Are you willing to give some things up to bombard the throne of heaven with prayer for those people? Or are you just kind of... I mean, it's great to pray with people. Or are we still just doing the Presto Magic stuff? I mean, what do we want to see God do in America? So what is fasting? Traditionally, fasting is to abstain from all or some kind of foods or drink, especially as a religious observance. I believe that fasting for food is important, as important today as it has been throughout the history of mankind, but all too often, we do not wish to do without our comforts to pursue God. That's the truth. That's the truth about us. So it's the truth about me. And I have to acknowledge that if I'm going to change anything. We make excuses, and I get that some people have medical issues, but there are different kinds of fasts. You can still fast. Juice fast, the Daniel fast, where we eat no choice meats, and we eat those things, those who have to. There's different types of fasting. I think it's important because, you know, during that fast, and I'm doing a devotion on fast right now, or on fasting, and one of the things that stood out to me in the devotion is God said that, you know, when I first fasted, it was really hard on me, but what I found is that scripture that Paul wrote, that in when he is weak, then God is strong. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Paul writing about his thorn in the flesh. And he said, I found that and discovered that in fasting. Early in his life, he fasted one time, the guy writing the devotion, and then he quit for years because the first time he had a really bad reaction to it, and it just didn't work, and you know, he wasn't built for fasting. So he didn't do it for years, but then the Lord led him to fast. And he said after he fasted and he learned about fasting, he said that he schedules times and regularly fasts, you know, and it really convicted me. You know, I pray all the time, but it's been a while since I've fasted. Another fast that I want to encourage everybody, and when I talk about fasting, is that as Christians, we live in a world that bombards our senses 24/7. With information, with noise, with pictures, constantly coming at us from every direction. I've got two phones. My wife's got a phone. My kids got phones. The TV's on. Somebody's knocking at the door. We're bombarded with information. How many people, you know, through the week regularly turn your phone off so that you can have time with God, quiet time? I thought about it as part of my sermon illustration, but Shelby's going to be out. I was going to have her call me different times through the service and then text me a few times so my phone could go off and then I could surf on Facebook. Because really, isn't that... Is your prayer life like that? Do you get in the middle of prayer and suddenly that text notification comes off? And you're like, hold on, God. Or maybe we just don't because we're too busy. We're playing on our games. How many people got games on your phone? Hold on. I got one on my phone too. You guys don't mind, do you? I'm just going to a little bit. And then by the time, you know, the evening's done, we've played on that forever, and suddenly it's time to go to bed and we haven't spent any time in prayer. We live in a crowded world. I want to encourage you this week. I really want to encourage us this week, particularly as we approach this next sermon series, put your phone down this week. Spend some time with God. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in your scripture reading and devotion. Parents, grandparents, spend some time with your kids. Have some real face-to-face relationship. You know, let's not be a church that does, you know, and we also talked about, Shelby and I, about maybe doing a scene up here, a living room scene. You know, how many living room scenes where everybody's sitting around and we're all connected? For hours? Oh, we're together, but nobody says a word. You guys know what I'm talking about. Now that Shelby and I are married, you know, we love each other, and we told each other that when we got married, so we don't talk much. We just sit next to each other and look on our phones, right? I mean, come on, for real. If anything changes, I'll tell her, right? So, why should we fast? Fasting is to abstain. And it gives us a chance, as we abstain from food or from social media, to turn our attention solely to God and our focus on God. That is important this morning. That is important tomorrow morning. It will be important every day of our lives. The Bible calls us sheep for a reason. Sheep aren't very smart, and when they put their head down and their focus is not on the shepherd, guess what happens? They wander away. Some people in life, just like the good shepherd, you know, shepherds back in the day, if they had sheep that wandered off frequently, they would break the leg of the sheep. And maybe that some people in the church are experiencing a broken leg because Jesus is tired of you wandering off. Maybe. I don't know. Sometimes it's just circumstances in life. But why should we fast this morning? I want to give you some reasons. I want to walk through some reasons. Number one, to prepare for ministry. This is why I think this church needs to fast. How many people want to see this church begin to minister to the broken, begin to grow? Then we need to prepare for that ministry. Amen? You need to prepare your heart because broken people are tough to deal with. I do it every day. In the last week, we've lost two people to overdose in the program that I'm in. We've staffed several suicidal clients. It's just a daily thing for me. Brokenness is brokenness. And you really have to be prepared spiritually to deal with it because it can be overwhelming. And we need God to move in America. Amen? And we need to prepare as a church for God to minister through us. If we're serious about wanting to see the Crossing become an impactful church where people are won to the Lord and then discipled, it's not enough just to win them. We have to disciple them, that they become mature believers who then themselves go out and win others to the Lord and disciple them. That's what we're here for. It's not for just our comfort. That we need to spend some time in ministry. I would call your attention to Jesus. And you can find this in Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 1, and Luke chapter 4. Spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness fasting and praying before He began God's work on the earth. I believe God has a calling for the Crossing. I believe that He has something that He wants us to do. And I would say that I believe we need to prepare ourselves. We need to stop resting on past victories. What God has done in our lives, whether in church or your life personally, I begin to look forward to this new season. Jesus had a great time in the past. He could have said, well, hey, you know, when I was 12, I went to the temple. I showed them boys what it's all about. They marveled at me. See, I got this. I don't need to fast as I go into ministry. See, I got this evidence. If you don't believe it, just turn to Luke. You can find it there. You know, he's looking for me for like 3 days, couldn't find me because I was in the temple showing them boys what it's all about. Now, Jesus still understood the importance of it. And as we prepare for ministry, it becomes important. Is God calling you into a ministry? Before I came into the ministry, I mean, honestly, when I felt God called me into the ministry, I prayed and fasted about it. I didn't just rush off into it. Because I understand that being in this position, there's a higher judgment. There's also a higher exposure to the enemy. And it's just not something I was going to rush into lightly. God calling you into a ministry. Have you entered into a ministry without first praying and fasting about it? Did you just rush up in there? I'm not saying it was a bad thing, that you might experience some problems. Because truly, as we minister, ministers of the gospel, I'm not doing anything. I'm simply a vessel. And I need to prepare my heart to get out of God's way and allow God to do His work through me. I've never saved anybody. But I've had the blessing and the privilege to be in rooms where 20, 30 people would accept Jesus Christ, to minister to them. I've had the privilege to lead one person to Christ. I've had the privilege to lead my own children to Christ. But I just was there. God was working through me. preparing our hearts for ministry becomes important. Also, to seek God's wisdom. How many people in here are facing a situation where you need to know what to do? You're looking for answers, saying, God, show me what to do. Whatever it is, financial, jobs. Have you fasted? Have you prayed? Have you really wrestled with God? And said, God, I need wisdom. Show me what to do. And I'm not going to let go until you show me. Remember Jacob in the Old Testament? He wrestled with God. And at the end of the night, what did God say to him? You shall no longer be called, but you shall be called. Kind of crazy how that happens, isn't it? We get a hold of God and wrestle with Him. And we're not going to let go. Paul and Barnabas prayed and fasted for the elders of the churches before committing them to the Lord for His service. You find that in Acts 14 and 23. And they did that everywhere they went. They prayed and they fasted before they committed people to the leadership of churches. They needed wisdom. Who are the right people? Sometimes in life we need wisdom on business decisions, on relational decisions, on employment decisions. And oftentimes we'll make decisions, as Pastor Wayne said, and we'll run out. We'll just go do something. And then next thing you know, bam, I've got a scar. Anybody remember that? Talking about those scars. Anybody got some scars in here because you ran out ahead of God? Aside from me. Got off in a wreck. Yeah, it happens. We need wisdom if we're going to be impactful as a church. We need wisdom if we're truly going to be able to disciple people. We're going to win the lost. Your pastor and myself and those that are in leadership need you to pray and fast for us because we need wisdom. Amen? I don't need my plan. I don't need Pastor David's plan. I need God's plan this morning. Amen? For my family, for this church, and for what we're doing. And we need you to be part of that. I can't do that all by myself. I can try, but it's going to be a struggle. I need you guys to pray and fast for us. There's people in here right now, and I won't point anybody out, that I know that need wisdom. Will we as the church body come alongside our brothers and sisters and pray and fast for them? God, give them wisdom. Will our hearts be burdened enough to actually do more than just a 30-second prayer? Father, this morning I come and I just lift Johnny Joe up to you. Lord, just give him wisdom. Amen. Well, I hope everything works out for him. Really want to see chains broken or chains unchanged. Amen. Number three, to show grief. Nehemiah mourned and fasted and prayed when he learned of Jerusalem's walls had been broken down, leaving the Israelites vulnerable and disgraced. And I would say to you this morning, in America, the walls are broken down. And America is vulnerable and disgraced. The book of Proverbs says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we are awash in sin and moral decay in this country. Here in Springfield, and even worse in other places. Do we grieve about that? The walls are broken down. And I don't mean the physical wall, which is a big topic. I even heard that at the gym. They were talking about the wall. And so I'm talking about spiritual walls are broken in this nation. Does it grieve you this morning to know that in this country, people actually believe that they're not created by God in His image? People this morning don't believe they have value and worth and dignity that's intrinsic because they are created in the image of God. Is it grievous this morning that in the United States, suicide and deaths from drugs and alcohol are at record high? Never have they been this high. Tens of thousands of people. Somebody's dying right now of an overdose. I can tell you that somewhere in America right now, somebody is dying. They're in respiratory arrest and they're overdosing right now. I can tell you that somewhere in this country. Is that grievous this morning as a church? You know, corporately, I think America, the church, needs to fast. And we need to repent. And we need to grieve over the sin. We need to repent of our own apathy and indifference. We need to repent of the critical spirit that we have towards those who are suffering under the burden of sin, who are enslaved by the enemy. It's easy to just point at people's faults. Fasting also, when to fast, is when you're seeking deliverance or protection. Ezra declared a corporate fast and prayed for a safe journey for the Israelites as they made the 900-mile trek from Jerusalem to Babylon. It led the first of the second dispersion, the captives of Judah, back to the land of Israel after the 70 years had been accomplished. Remember our memory verse, the first one was Jeremiah 29:11. We had to read in context. And God said to them, 70 years you're going to be here. When 70 years are accomplished, I will return you. And that's what Ezra was doing after that 70 years had been accomplished. The decree went forth. The Israelites went back. He's praying for deliverance or protection. Who do you know this morning that needs protection? Needs to be delivered from something. Needs to be set free. We're willing this morning to be uncomfortable in our own lives, to forego the wonderful things we have in our grocery stores and all the choicest meats and finest delicacies and then the stuff we get at McDonald's. Amen. Power went out of my house last night, man. McDonald's must have been like a 5-star restaurant. It was power's out everywhere. We went up here, man, like 50,000 people up at McDonald's. Are we willing to forego those things to make sure that they have a safe journey, to pray for their protection? Number five, and I spoke on this a moment ago, when to fast is to repent. After Jonah pronounced judgment against the city of Nineveh, the king covered himself with sackcloth and satin dust, and he ordered the people to fast to pray at Jonah. The book of Jonah 3:10 says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction He had threatened. This is really where the church needs to be at today. Because the situation that's going on in America, the church is as much at fault as anybody. We need to pray and repent, Lord, not that I've done anything, but Lord, that in certain denominations they ordain homosexual ministers. Father God, I just come before you to repent of that, the sin in America. That every day across this land, 3,000 to 4,000 babies are aborted. Father God, I just come to plead for America to repent of our sin. That every day, I think 47,000 people last year died of suicide. And nearly that many died of overdose. That every day, Lord, that we, and even myself at times, are apathetic about it. We need to pray and fast, and we need to ask God to move in this country, to repent of the sin of this nation. We need to pray and fast that God would do something in our government. Instead of complaining about it, because our government is corrupt. I see it all the time, and it's true. How do you become a politician and go to Washington, make $174,000 a year, and become a millionaire? How do you do that? Wise investing? Or maybe? We in America have much to repent of. And as we pray and fast and repent, we also, another reason for fasting or when to fast is to gain the victory. How many people want a breakthrough in your life? Want to see a breakthrough in the lives of your children? How many people want to see a breakthrough in the life of America as a nation? We want to win the victory. The children of Israel went up against the tribe of Benjamin in the book of Judges, and they lost 40,000 men in battle in 2 days. Then they cried out to the Lord for help. Judges 20:26 says, all the people went up to Bethel, or the house of bread. I like going to Jesus. Just throw that in there. And sat weeping before the Lord because they'd been defeated. This ties well to the last one. My heart is broken for what happens in America. My heart is broken for what I see every day. My heart is broken for those people because they've grown up and they don't know anything different. I have clients at times whose parents at 8 years old were the first people to inject them with drugs, to give them alcohol. I have clients who at the age of 3 and 4 and 5, parents were the first people to introduce them to sex and sexuality through abuse. And this is America. We're a Christian nation. I read this morning, and I'd like to see victory in this church, that the Southern Baptist Convention has 16 million registered Southern Baptists registered as members of this evangelical church, and yet at any given Sunday, only 6 million are actually in church.
I'd like to see victory in that area.
I'd like to see victory in this church. I'd like to see that every bed that you prioritize this church, not because of me, but you prioritize Jesus. Everybody said Jesus? Jesus!
Some of y'all look like you're checking out on me, like, man, come on, you got to hurry.
I'm going to take as long as the Spirit needs to take this morning, because we got to get this, or this church is going to die. Not just this church, but the church in America is going to die. I'm just going to tell you, we languish in mediocrity, and we lack spiritual power. We lack boldness, and I want to see victory. Everybody know that song? Can I sing now?
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him.
See, I want to see victory this morning. I want to see victory in the lives of your children. I want to see victory in the lives of my children. I want to see victory in Springfield. I want to see God begin to move. I want to see a revival in this land. And we need to fast and we need to pray and we need to go up, because you know what? We've experienced defeat as a church. The tribe of Benjamin has been kicking our butts for decades. And it's time that we go and we cry out before the Lord. We go to Bethel, to the house of bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And that's the house we need to go to this morning. We need to repent of our sins. We need to cry out to God and ask Him to forgive and repent of the corporate sins of America. And we need to pray for victory. And last, most importantly, to worship God. How great is our God? Luke 2 tells the story of an 84-year-old prophetess named Anna. In verse 33, it says she never left the temple but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Wow, 84 years old. Here I am, 47, man. I don't know if I can do it. You know what I mean? Come on, talk about medical conditions and this and that. 84 years old, fasting and praying day and night. What an example. I bet she's not in Hebrews chapter 11, but if you go up there, you're going to find her in the Hall of Faith. You know, we're going to go up there like a Hall of Fame here in Canton. There's going to be a Hall of Faith, and you're going to find her there. The question this morning, though, as I close, is simply this: will we? Now, I've done my best this morning, and I'm keeping you a little bit long because of the burden that's on my heart about this message, about this series. Will we? Will we as a church? Will I? As one of your pastors and leaders, will you, as one of those that God has called to this place, and I don't believe you're here by accident, God has called you to this place, as a member of the household of God, as a member of this congregation, will we take this charge seriously this morning? Will we be concerned enough about the moral decay in our nation to do something that the Bible says Christians ought to do in repentance and grieve for our national sin? Are we concerned enough about the lost around us to spend real time crying out to God that He may open their eyes to see their need for Jesus before it's too late? Do we as a church really desire God's wisdom and leading in our ministry to see this church begin to make a bigger kingdom difference in the lives of this community? Do we really want to break through into the abundance and blessings that God has for us? I hope so this morning. And that's my charge to you this morning. You know, so many times we come in, and I'm not knocking anybody in here who's not maybe necessarily got a notebook and taking notes and stuff, things like that, you know. I appreciate that you have a photographic memory. Do we really want to get serious about this thing? I do. You know, I generally have a notepad out, and I'll jot down notes. My wife, God bless her, she journals. I mean, she's like got volumes of, she watches sermons at home and all week, and she's constantly, and it's great because it works out good for me because I get all these great sermon ideas, and like, thank you, Lord, for the woman that you gave me. Amen. Will we? That's the challenge this morning. That's the charge this morning. Now, we probably should have preached the series on fasting. I'll be honest. But I've given you those reasons why to fast and pray. The question this morning as we stand to our feet and the altars are open is, will we? Will you? More is the question. Will I? This is a personal question this morning. Will we as a church get a hold of God and do everything we can? See, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, God, however long it takes, Daniel fasted for 3 weeks because God gave him a vision and he had a burden to know what it was. And you know, and that's some of the block, and I could have preached on that. And I want to just give you this, that the devil resisted. It says the prince of Persia resisted Gabriel, who came to give him the answer to his prayer. He resisted him, and Michael the archangel had to come and help. 3 weeks he prayed and fasted. Will we as a church pray it through? Will we fast it through? Will we be like Jacob, man? God, I'm going to get a hold of you, and I'm not letting go until I get my answer. Until I see you move in this circumstance, in this situation. I'm not letting go until I see that the Spirit of the Lord begin to operate in freedom in this church and we begin to impact people's lives. I'm not letting go until my children are saved. I'm not letting go, Lord. This morning, altars are open. We're going to have a video this morning. Whatever you have this morning, whatever need, you come, you pray. And I want to challenge you this week. Let us as a church fast and pray for the people in here, the people that are hurting, and I know people that are hurting, for those that are lost, and for this nation. Altars are open this